Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. It's likely that you've heard me and so many other people talking about how valuable content can be for growing your business. But it's also likely that you've thought, dang, this is going to take up way too much of my time. And the truth is, of course, it's going to take up some time, but it likely doesn't have to take up as much as you think. So in today's podcast episode, I'm talking with a CPA who has truly found her groove with creating content. Get ready for it. The lazy way. Shannon Weinstein is a CPA and a fractional CFO for growth-minded business owners. She's a teacher at heart, and her real-life relatable examples simplify the financial side of business so you can stop stressing and start scaling. She's also the host of the IRS's least favorite podcast, Keep What You Earn. I just love that so much. And it consistently ranks in the top 200 for entrepreneurship. She's a frequent speaker in business coaching communities and masterminds, and like I said, a fantastic content creator. Plus, she's hilarious. We had so much fun talking about how she creates content the lazy way, and she even talks about how she identified putting on a bra as one of the barriers. I love that she was able to identify that and then find a very fun workaround for this. I cannot wait for you to hear what her workaround is and all of her other tips on how to create content that doesn't take over your entire schedule. Okay, get ready for inspiration and lots of ideas. Let's hear from Shannon. Shannon, thank you so much for being here. I cannot wait to talk to you today.
I'm so excited too, Amanda.
Oh, I love it. So you and I connected and you said this phrase that I immediately wrote down, which is super fun when it happens like that. You said this phrase and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to talk to her on the podcast about this. But before we dive into it, can you give a little snippet about who you are and how you serve your clients so that people have context of what you do?
Absolutely. So I identify as a CFO. I am a fractional CFO. I am a CPA by education, but what I do is I serve business owners typically above $1 million in revenue as sort of their right hand when it comes to their business finances, on their board of advisors, you know, at the boardroom table, telling them, you know, where they're spending too much or how to manage their cash flow, how to make more money and keep more of what they earn. And I'm also the host of the podcast, Keep What You Earn, where we serve business owners of all levels just through education and awareness of things that can be impacting their finances. So we have less statistics about failed businesses in the world right now.
Oh, I love that. And your podcast is such a wealth of knowledge. I binged several episodes like as soon as I found it because they're so short and powerful and punchy. Yep. And just easy to digest for people who, like myself, who are, you know, self-starting this business, running at full speed, doing all the things. And I don't have an accounting background. So that was one of the biggest fears I had when I started my business, was making sure I was going to do this right. And so thank you for following your passion and helping us, because we really appreciate it. And while I really hope to get to that $1 million mark, I'm not there yet. And so your podcast is super helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes. So you said this phrase when you and I talked, and you said that you, I forget the phrasing before it, but you said like, I use lazy content efficiency. And I was immediately like, oh my gosh, I love this so much. So
yeah,
let's talk about what lazy content efficiency means for you.
So I am, so a little bit about me as a person, right? As a human, I don't know if anyone listening follows like human design or Enneagram and stuff like that, right? So I am a manifesting generator, Enneagram 3, Gemini, and I'm lazy. And it's funny because I say I'm lazy. It's because I love to get things done. Okay. I love to get things done. I am that person who will put stuff on the to-do list that I already did just so I get to check it off and get the little endorphin.
Same like, here. I've done it many times.
Right. So it's almost like a, when someone likes your Facebook post, I go, it's kind of like a like from my own soul. I'm like, yes, okay, I am worthy today, whatever. We're working on it. We're working on it.
Right. But we all have to.
But the self-awareness is key, right? So I know that I get excited about checking stuff off and getting things done. So it can actually be, it can be both the reason for my success, but also a toxic trait, right? If it's done in extremes. So I create work for myself. I say yes to a lot of things. I have new ideas and I want to go do them right now. And what I realized was the more I can back it up for a second and be really intentional about how I spend my time and my energy, the more I can actually create, put out in the world without having to hustle and do everything from scratch. And it's basically like, the value of what I'm putting out there in terms of content, in terms of whatever it may be, is not a function of how much time I put into it, but a function of how much planning I've put into it.
Ooh,
and that is huge. So we were talking about, I was joking around with you on my show, and I was saying, you know, I'm lazy. And, or when we were talking, I'm lazy. And it sounds funny because it's like, Shannon, I would not peg you as lazy by looking at me or by seeing what I do. But the reality is, it's I don't want to work for the sake of working. I don't enjoy working a lot. I just don't. Like, who does, right? Some people may, but I think at a certain point, I'm going, I want to put out all this stuff into the world, but with the least amount of effort humanly possible. Like, how can I do that? And I actually think that most examples of entrepreneurship are examples of how to, when we say solve problems, it's actually saving time, saving energy, and doing things faster, better, stronger, you know, in less time with less output, or less input, I should say. And that's really it, is entrepreneurship is serving the lazy.
I love it. It is true. I mean, when we think about why we get into this crazy journey of entrepreneurship, because it's certainly not easier, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of us, whether we started thinking that it was easy or it was going to be like, oh, I'm my own boss, like this idea that we may have had, the reality is it is not easier. It is easier to go work for someone else, clock in, clock out, and do that. I'm not saying every job is easy because I certainly wouldn't have said that when I was in the corporate world, that it didn't feel easy. Like I was going. But this is harder. It requires more self-reflection, more discipline, a lot of other things. And so, but we have this thread of, I want time freedom. Every single one of us, everyone wants time freedom that's creating their own business. Whether it's, I want it today and I want to work less each day, or it's, I want to work really hard to make a ton of money and retire early. Like we're looking for time and that freedom with our time. So the idea of really embracing the fact of, yes, creating content and putting out content, but doing it in a way that's really efficient, I think is just, I mean, I feel like if we were in the car, if we were on walks with people right now, they'd be like, yes, tell me how you did this. So right. That's the next step of really understanding, how did you step into this and not feel like the should trap, you know, I should be doing all
these things. Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I did was I got really clear on where I want to be. So if we're talking literally on online content, social media, and so on, I said, where do I want to pour into? Because if I pour a little into each bucket, it will take longer to fill, right? So if I pour a little bit into each platform, it's going to take me longer on every platform to grow. So what do I really want to pour into? It's almost like watering different plants. It's like you throw a little bit on each one, they're all going to grow a little bit. But if you really nurture one of them, it's going to grow faster. So I said, I'm going to nurture my Instagram first because that's where I was most comfortable and where I could be more like authentic, show my personality. I have a sense of humor, which is really rare for an accountant. So I like to to show up and like share a little bit about what's going on there. And it's a little bit more forgiving, right? But then I was convinced by my now CMO. She said, Shannon, I really think you should start a podcast. And I was like, I would love to. I'm getting the bug. Like, I want to at surface level. Like, who doesn't want to have a podcast? That's cool. Like,
yeah,
cool girl stuff, right? So I was excited because I was like, okay, this would be really fun. But I don't have the time. Like, where am I going to find the time to do that? Because to succeed with podcasting, you have to be super consistent. Mm-hmm. So I basically had to go back to the drawing board and do two things. One was I had to dump out of my brain. I said, if I don't come up with 100 ideas in one sitting on what I could talk about on the show, then I'm not ready yet. Mm. Like I actually didn't have that number in mind, but I dumped it out for a while. And I said, I came up with 100 ideas in less than 10 minutes. And I said, okay, so I have the content. So what's the next obstacle, right? Mm-hmm. What's the next obstacle for me to do this? It's the consistency. So do you have the content and do you have the consistency? The consistency piece was, okay, what would it take if I wanted to release one episode a week? I asked my editor, when do you need them by? Okay, mm-hmm. You need them 6 weeks in advance or 4 weeks in advance. Cool. So let me do a calendar of like, I need to do these episodes by these dates in order to meet that goal. And then it's like, can you do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was also in August, which is my slowest month of the year. So I had a diluted like perception of, yeah, I could totally do that. And it's like, you asked me in January and I'd be like, F, no, I can't do that. But she got me on the habit. This is the other thing. I built the habit during a time. This could go either way. You could build a habit during a time when you're really busy. So you know that you'll be able to sustain it even when you get busy. Mm-hmm. But I built my habit when I was slow so that I could just embed it in my like brushing my teeth. Like, this is just part of what we do now. Mm-hmm. By the time we got busy, it was just part of life and I didn't even notice it, right? Mm-hmm. And I could gear up for that busy time. So so that's what I did. I started in August of 2021. 2022, February, we moved to 2 episodes a week and I was scared of that.
Right.
but there was a system. And then by June 2022, we were at 5 episodes a week and been there ever since. So we're about a year now. Doing five episodes a week, never missed an episode and never been behind.
It's incredible. I love it.
I agree. And I'm surprised that that actually happened. I'm like, I can't believe it because I swear to God, I was like, I'm going to fall off this bike at some point, guys. Like I know I'm not going to be able to keep pedaling at this pace the whole time. And I did. And the craziest part is it wasn't that hard. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were talking about was like, it really is not. I say I do 5 episodes a week and everybody in our community that we're in is like, how? And I'm like, it's actually easier to do 5 than it was to do 1.
Right.
And people don't believe me when I say that, but I truly feel that because 1 a week, it was an extra thing I had to do. Oh yeah. It was back burner, back of mind. Oh yeah. I have to catch up on episodes. And because I only had to record episodes once every month, mm-hmm. in pockets and in batches, it became a once a month project.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, I water that thing once a month and it just lives. And mm-hmm. Not that I forgot about it, but it wasn't part of my routine life. It wasn't a mm-hmm. frequent thing front of mind. But when I started moving to the 5 a week, and now every Friday, I do my own marketing, my own admin and podcast day mm-hmm. and networking. And I'll do 2 or 3 interviews and I'll do 2 or 3 solo episodes that day, almost every Friday. And it's super fun and I enjoy it. And I get to connect with people like you and I get to connect with other people and it helps me produce massive amounts of content. So, that's kind of how the podcast grew and where I really learned how to maximize efficiency with output.
Thank you so much for going through that because I think this is a piece that often doesn't get talked about a lot because We forget how we got started with things. And this happened to me very recently where someone said something about a podcast or whatever. And I was like, oh, it's super easy. Like, because they were asking about how do you create so much content? Like you have 190 something episodes now. And I was like, oh, it's really easy. And Michael, my husband, was like, let's remember when you got started. Like,
yeah, I don't think it is now.
Right. He was like, you did not think it was that easy at the beginning. And I was so thankful mm-hmm. for that reminder, because in that moment, I was like, yeah, and I need to celebrate, which I am terrible at, and you may be the same, of I am terrible at celebrating the fact of how far I've come in doing that. So thank you for sharing the beginning stages of that. And I just want to highlight how you did that, because you broke it down. And I think so many projects, whether it's a podcast or any type of content or business idea, I think a lot of ideas end up in the graveyard of ideas that never get action taken on them because it feels so overwhelming. But you said, I really like the phrase of when you said, what is the obstacle? And the obstacle was first content ideas. So you wrote down 100
ideas. Overcame that one at a time. Yep.
Yeah. And then what is the next obstacle? Consistency. And then you created a process that then allowed it to be easier. Yeah. So you really did well with that.
I'm a former consultant for Big Four firm. So we have this concept of solve one problem at a time. Mm-hmm. And it was one problem at a time. Like, what are the problems in the way? Okay, what's the solution to this problem? What's the solution to this problem? And if you can theoretically solve these problems individually, then you can solve the bigger problem mm-hmm. overall, which is your overwhelm. And it's like, well, what's the source of the overwhelm? It's, I'm afraid I'm not going to be consistent. I'm afraid I don't have enough ideas. So if you can attack those things and dispel those myths about your own idea mm-hmm. one at a time, then it lessens the height of the obstacle. It basically chips away the height of the hurdle. And you're like, yeah, I can climb over that. That's no problem.
Right. It feels so much more doable. And you're feeling those wins, those hits of like, yep, check that off the list. Got that endorphin hit. And you're taking those steps and really celebrating. Even if you're not actively celebrating, your body, your mind is like, oh yeah, I got this. And it's really understanding like, I can do this and it's okay. And I would say the same thing about like how I was able to really attack the idea of a podcast or content or whatever. It's, you know, chipping away. And also, like, I can say the same thing as you, as I've never missed a week, all these things. I would also say, and I don't know if you would reflect this as well, but I also told myself, like, no one's going to die if I miss a week on this podcast.
Exactly.
Like, I have...
What's the worst that could happen? What does failure look like? Oh, I miss a week? That's not really... I'm not going to go burn up in flames. The whole thing isn't going to get canceled. Like, will anyone even really notice? Like, you know, we think there are higher stakes than there are, mm-hmm. but we also want to be consistent, because I think once you miss one week, now you've given yourself permission to miss another and miss another. And you don't want to get into the habit of believing that is, you know, normal. But what you want to do is also give yourself grace where like, well, if I miss a week because I was in the hospital or something, like, come on. Of course.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is like, it's this interesting balance. Like, you have to go into it with the full intention of always being consistent and also knowing life happens. It's okay. And, you know, it happens. But the cool thing is, at least with creating content, is you can work ahead. And so oftentimes people will ask me about that. And I'm like, look, we've had crazy things happen in our family where absolutely I could not do the work that I typically do for several weeks in a row. But because I work ahead, it didn't impact my business in that way. So it looked like Amanda's just creating this content, but it was created months ago.
Yeah, same thing. So in case anyone is like living under a rock, there's this thing called tax season from January to April for us CPAs. And so here's the interesting thing. And for anyone listening who can relate to this, I know it's not necessarily CPAs listening to this, but there's probably this version of this in your life, in your business, where there's a busy time of year where you're like, I got no effing time to go make videos or do this or do that. Like, I got kids stuff. I got, you know, summer vacation. I got whatever it is, right? But maybe it's kind of consistent year over year. So for me, that was tax season from Jan to April. So what did I do? The week after Christmas, the week before Christmas, like usually, and then December, November for me is pretty slow because everyone's kind of winding down. Mm-hmm. They don't really want to talk to their accountant. They got family stuff. They got holiday parties. They're busy, right? So I took December and November, like from Thanksgiving to Christmas, or Thanksgiving to New Year's, really. And I said, I'm going to go and do like 4 episodes a day. Now, keep in mind, they're like 10 minutes each.
Right.
So I'm going to sit behind the microphone for like an hour and a half in the morning for a few days a week. You know what I mean? Like it was a good amount of content. And I said, I'm going to do like February and March's episodes all in December. And I'm going to do all of the other stuff. And I also have a team. So I should disclose, I pay a team. They produce the podcast. All I do is hop behind the microphone and upload a file. All and then they also take it and replicate it into social media, which is another part of that efficiency. So like it's not like I'm waving a magic wand, fairy godmother stuff. It's knowing where to place my team and where to focus their efforts to get the most output. But also the ahead of time factor. So I was actually getting comments and messages from accountants going, how the hell are you showing up every day during tax season? And I go, dude, I haven't showered in 3 days. I'm in a cave doing tax returns. What did I post today? And they're like, you have like your makeup on, you look great, you're happy, whatever. And I go, girl, that was in December.
Yes.
But what's funny is it's when you understand the seasons of your own life and business, you can maximize the seasons when you're in this high energy state and you're not busy and you have the capacity to think and you have ideas. You can grab that, grab the pencil and paper, grab the camera and go create the thing. Don't wait. Because if you're living in that energy, don't wait. Share that with the same energy and enthusiasm you have while you're thinking of it. Find the fastest path to capturing it, whether it's a voice note, a quick video, whatever your forum is, notes in your phone, starting a blog. ChatGPT, for crying out loud, I had this idea. Can you help me write a blog? Like now there's no excuse.
Right.
So now you put that stuff out there, right? Quick and dirty. And then later on, when you're kind of running out of ideas, you're feeling stuck, you got a little bit of a block and you're like, what am I going to talk about? Make it a habit to go back to all those quick ideas, elaborate on them. You know, what's chapter 2 of that idea? Like, how can you expand on it? There's so many different things that you can do without having to, from scratch, create these new works of art every single time. I mean, imagine if TV shows all had one episode, like you had to have the whole story in one. No. It's all like take the same characters, take the same themes, take the same story and just give it a little twist, like add a little bit of something different. It doesn't have to be so complicated. I think we overestimate how much we have to create versus how much we have to produce, which I think are different things.
Right. I love that. I want to put a pin there because I want to come right back to it. And I want to share something that happened recently for me that I don't think you and I have talked about, but it would fall into the bucket of lazy content efficiency.
Yeah.
Sure. And I had this moment that when I say this, it's going to be like, oh my gosh, how have I not thought about this for the last 4 years of podcasting? But it was just this year and I know better, do better, right? Like here we are. I had this moment where I had just had an interview with someone and immediately after the interview, so like my phone is on airplane mode during podcast interviews, like I'm fully here. Before I turned my phone back off of airplane mode, I turned the camera around and I recorded my thoughts on that episode of like, I just talked about this with Shannon and blah, blah, blah. And I recorded it in the way that I knew that's going to be the Instagram story whenever this goes live.
Yep.
So right after the interview, I did like at least one promotion piece for the actual episode, but also just random less than 1 minute clips of me talking about something we talked about on that episode of like a quick tip or whatever. I have done that ever since that moment I realized it. Content creation is so much easier now for Instagram Reels and now, and then it gets repurposed on a million other platforms. But the idea of just doing it in the moment, which is what you're just talking about, is like capturing that energy in the moment versus like you and I,
which
talked about.
Having to curate it, having to produce the energy first. That is the exhausting part. I think it's because everyone's like, I want to wake up today and make Reels. Like, I don't have that on my calendar. And I will tell you this. Content creation is never on my calendar, which is such a sin in the content world. It's never on my calendar. You know what is on my calendar? Go for a walk.
Ooh.
And then when I'm on that walk, all the crap that hits my brain when I get downloads of whatever it is, I immediately go on a walk, but have a way to capture what is kind of coming in through that flow state when you can actually open up your brain up to think. You get your best ideas then.
Yeah.
Either I have an Asana board. but mm-hmm. like put it somewhere in the notes, wherever, or grab a quick video, grab a quick voice note, put it in a folder and say, I got to expand on this when I get home. Like when I get yes. home, I'm hopping on the mic and talking about this because this is such a cool idea. Mm-hmm. Or I'm putting the episode on the calendar and I'm listing all the notes of what I have to talk about.
Yep.
It's huge. You have to capture it in the moment because they will hit you naturally. Mm-hmm. I've never had to have a dedicated session, Amanda, when I go sit down and have to like, okay, I need 50
what am
ideas.
I gonna talk
Let's
about?
Go. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like when I have to force myself to come up with content, I'm like, I've never had to force it because it has come to me mm-hmm. in the right pace, but I've been able to grab it, capture it and put it into something.
Yes, that never starting from scratch idea is the key to success and definitely the key to consistency
right.
of just never starting from scratch. And so anyone listening, if you do not have a Google Doc, an Asana board, a something, a note in your phone that captures ideas, pause this episode right now and create it because you will thank us later for doing that. Hey there. I promise I'll get you right back to this great episode, but I wanted to pop in and make sure that you knew that my book, Why Not You? An Accidental Entrepreneur's Guide to Success is published and waiting for you. I wrote this book for anyone who feels like they are stumbling into entrepreneurship and has more questions and doubts than you have answers. While you can find answers to most things you want to learn through a simple Google search, those search results are not going to tell you what you want and how you work best. This book helps you explore what you truly want as an entrepreneur so that you can build a business that integrates into your life instead of taking it over. We explore your desires, your strengths, and I help you create what I call your YOU promise. And this will serve as your compass throughout entrepreneurship. It's a book filled with inspiration and very tactical tips that you can take right now, and I can't wait for you to get your hands on it. So go search for it wherever you shop for books, or you can even request it from your local library. Okay, I can't wait to see it in your hands, but let's get back to the episode. So let's go back to that pin. So you said
yeah.
creation of content and output of content. I could be changing your words.
Yeah,
a little,
but I say those... content, produce, or output, but they're different. Yeah.
So let's elaborate on that because I think this is going to be one of those aha moments for a lot of people.
And I need another version of this for like that has alliteration, right? Because that's what we love to do. So I think that there's a difference between like when they say content creation and content, we'll say output or what is out there for my content, right? Mm-hmm. What's so funny is you'll see me put, for example, 5 episodes out a week, but it's 1 hour a week. Mm-hmm. It's more than an hour of content, but it's 1 hour invested. How is that possible? Well, because for a couple of reasons. One is my episodes are pretty short. I could sit down for one session and do 3 episodes in an hour. That's fine. Mm-hmm. So that's 3 days of content, right? And that's getting a ton of value out of that. My guest episodes are under an hour each, 2 a week, and we get to interview them on Friday and then they get produced, right? So of course, like there's a one-to-one match for the time on the microphone and the time of what you're listening to. But when I look at it and say, okay, so I do 2 hours of interviews and networking on Friday, 1 hour in my pajamas, one night a week, right? Or whatever. Spoiler alert, that's the reason why we don't have YouTube for some of the solo episodes.
I love
Anna
it.
Does not look great. But here's the other, and then I'm going to add this one more piece in. Lower the barrier of
yes.
between you, from you getting from not doing content to doing content. And for me, this is hilarious. Again, the lazy side. As soon as you make me put a bra on, I'm not doing it.
There you go. You knew the obstacle.
So
the
you obstacle.
The obstacle.
If I'm like, and by the way, I'm wearing one, but like,
if this is a guest interview, I feel like
exactly.
we all step it up a little bit more when we're talking to somebody else.
But if I'm going to be asked to put makeup on, to do preparation, I hate preparation. Again, lazy. I want to just show up and talk.
Yes.
Share my idea and get out. Yeah. I want to come in, drop the value and get out. And I don't need anything fancy. I don't need to dress it up in anything. I don't need to create that for me is not authentic because I'm like, if I have to like look pretty for the camera to talk to it to about an idea, you know what I do in my solo episodes? And if I don't know if you'll have video for this, but like I'm doing this and this, and I'm like looking up and down and around, and I'm right. looking at other things and looking at notes of bullet points.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be conscious of what I'm looking at or how I look on screen. Sure. I don't want to be fixated on that. I want to just be talking to somebody. So lower the barrier of whatever's holding you back from doing the blog, doing the podcast, doing the YouTube, like mm-hmm. stop thinking you need the perfect equipment or the perfect face or the perfect whatever to produce it. Just like for me, it's just get behind the microphone, throw your pajamas on. Who the hell cares? Mm-hmm. Like no one cares. We've built up 25,000 downloads a month in my pajamas.
I love it.
You can do it. It's totally doable. And on that note, I will add this one little nugget is I wanted to be on video. I wanted to do video content. Mm-hmm. I, again, did not want to put a bra on or put makeup on. So I was like, how do I overcome this? And you would be amazed at what Shannon will do to not have to do those things.
I love it.
So I knew that was my barrier though. I know like if I have to do this, I won't do it. Like right. if I have to set up a camera, I won't do it. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I had, oh my God, and I wish I had her with me, but I have a puppet that yeah. looks exactly like me.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
If you've seen my Instagram, you've seen Puppet Shannon. Puppet Shannon mouths the words. So Shannon does a voice note.
Oh my gosh.
And Puppet Shannon speaks the voice. Or Puppet Shannon will lip sync to a reel.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. All those,
the trending audios. So what's funny is it's pattern interrupting. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure if you scroll through, like, what the hell is this puppet?
Right.
It's pattern interrupting. It's interesting. It's like, oh my God, that's Shannon.
Right.
If you've seen my pictures, like it's derived from my brand photos. So it's like, oh my God, that's Shannon.
Oh my gosh.
And then it's just cute and funny. And you're like, huh, that's good. And then, but you also are compelled by it. So it's actually magnetizing content. But people are like, where'd you get this idea? I go, yeah. I didn't want to put a bra on.
Right. It's tapping into like what you know about yourself and just running with it.
But it's so simple. It was the logical solution to the obstacle for me. But what's funny is people are like, oh my God, this is brilliant. Where did you get this idea from? Where did you get this idea from? And I'm like, buckle up.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to put a bra on to do videos. And it was, but it's so funny because it's like, I did not see that reason coming.
Right.
And that was the interesting part. I've completely deviated from whatever the core question was, but that was exactly what the lazy, that is the lazy content creation is like, how do I remove the obstacles that are preventing me from moving forward? How do I get those out of my way so that I don't have to do extra work to do the basics? Like, how do I remove the extra headaches out of this process?
Right. And then it's what we have to do. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I bet we all have examples of this in mm-hmm. our lives. And I've done this. So I encourage people. I say, like, if you want to grow your business and you want to do it online, content creation is going to help you do that. You need to be consistent. Like, the answer is there. You don't have to do it. There are other ways to grow your business. But one way, especially at the beginning, if you don't have a ton of money for ads and all these things, like, creating content is a great way to do that. And it helps you understand what the heck you want to talk about. Like, Amanda in 2017 did not know what I wanted to talk about, but I was just starting. And so thank goodness for that. But I had those same barriers. And I remember thinking, I think I should probably do video, but I don't really know what to do with that. Like, that seems like a lot. So I started writing because that was a lower barrier. I could write anywhere. I could take my computer to the kitchen table or to a coffee shop. And so I would write. Now, people often in my audience will say, but I'm not a good writer. That's your barrier. My friend, if you are worried about that, done is better than perfect. People want to be helped. They are searching every day on Google for answers to things, and you could help them. And so had Shannon not started, you know?
Yeah. Impact over image every time.
Yes.
Impact over image. So if you're doing it for the impact, do it for the impact and don't worry about the image part. Mm. Also, what the irony of that is that by me doing stuff like that, it actually related to people better.
Right.
Like, people actually appreciated that more than if I was like dolled up. They'd be like, what are you doing?
Right.
This isn't you. You just kind of pull your phone out and talk to us. And that's what we like. Especially in a subject matter like mine, like with accounting, taxes, money, it's already an unapproachable topic. It's already something that feels distant from people. The more I can bring it back to, I'm one of you. I'm just like you. I don't want to put makeup on either. I don't want to put on a suit and talk about this.
Right.
I am here in a sweatshirt telling you how to manage your taxes. Like, it's okay. Like, remove the barrier completely from whatever it is. And also, if you identify this, say, like, I'm not a good writer. Like, do you enjoy writing? Or do you enjoy, like, are you better on audio? Are you better kind of just talking?
Yeah.
Are you a verbal processor? You know, what is the medium of choice? And my advice would be create some type of long form channel, written audio or video, which means blog, podcast, or YouTube. So create one long form channel, go all in on it, and then all the short form will come naturally as a byproduct. I don't believe in go short form and long form together. Almost all of my short form content, almost all of my Instagram is derived from my podcast. So like, it's a quote from my podcast that we put on a tile. It's an actual clip of our guests on the podcast. It's an episode title and it's a link to the show. It's everything. You have plenty of content over now. Like we'll say we've been talking for, let's say 30, 40 minutes.
Right.
There's tons of stuff that you could probably strip away from this and do content on. So I go, or I could do as well. So it's really about create the long form and the short form will follow.
Yes. It's so important to think about it that way. And I think we can all get sucked into that mentality of we have to keep creating. To come back to what you were saying, it's create, create, create. And it's like, create one thing and then the output of that one thing can multiply in multiple ways. Now, for the people who are like, but I don't have a team. I understand that. Like I have support in my business now, but I didn't at the beginning. And so we all start somewhere and we do what we can with the time that we have. Like be realistic. You said at the beginning of like, what can I do? Can I do this? And you can do that same thing knowing like, you know what? I hope to outsource more of this later, but for right now, what is my capacity? So I would tack that on because I think, again, I think we as humans are great at making excuses. I'm not a good writer. I don't want to put on a bra. I don't want to do these things. Like we're great at making excuses when we need to be making progress. If you really want the thing, we need to be making progress. Yeah. So all of this is like, you gave so many nuggets of wisdom of like, just identify the barrier and move through it.
And identify the priority though, too. This is the last kind of piece to it is, how much of a priority is it for you? Because for me, it was about, I'm not going to do a podcast until it becomes the thing I pour into, right? So is the podcast a side dish or is it the main course to your content? Is it something that you want to have just to have? Like, what does success look like? Are you actually trying to grow it? Is your goal for the podcast to actually grow it, grow the downloads, like have higher caliber guests on? Or, and it's okay if it's not. Because if that's not what you want, that's not what you're going to get because your effort has to mirror the goal for it. So if your goal is, I just want to have a podcast, my candid opinion of that is, well, that's an expensive hobby, but okay.
True.
Right? Because it's expensive in the form of time and or money because I'm like, and the podcast has a lot of responsibility. So unless you're going to, you know, it's like getting a German Shepherd to go, unless you're going to train it, it's going to be very challenging. So it has to have a purpose and intention in your business, in my opinion, first. Like you have to know that the goal of the podcast is X, and I will know I have accomplished that if XYZ happens. But or if XYZ is the direction we're going in, right? If my target is growth, are we growing? If my target is impact, are we doing that? Are we selling things? Are we doing ads? Like what is it? But again, if it's only just to produce just because. I would caution you to really come up with a reason for the show or whatever channel it is. For me, it was the podcast, but for you, it might be YouTube or whatever. What is the point? What is this going to lead people to? How does this fit into my funnels? How does it fit into my ecosystem? Because if it's just standing there as this island that's not connected to the core client customer experience, then what purpose does it serve? And is it just a distraction from what you're trying to really build? People get so caught up in this, like, I should be doing podcast, YouTube, and I go, why?
Yeah.
Like, how does it serve your mission? How is it contributing as a member of your team or a member of your system? Because if it's not pushing people in an effective way, one of two things is happening. One, you're not pouring into that thing enough. Or two, it isn't the right thing.
Right.
And that's okay. There's no right answer to that. You haven't failed if you decide that it's not the best thing for you. In fact, you've succeeded in identifying that.
Right. I love that you brought that up because I think sometimes, you know, maybe someone is listening and they know exactly what they want to do. They know, like through listening to this, that you have known in your heart, my dear friend, that you needed to you wanted to start that blog or YouTube channel or podcast. You want to do that. It's a fire inside you. You know it right now. There's other people who are like, I have no idea. This idea of lazy content sounds fabulous. I have no idea what it is. And so you take that as like, if you know, you identify the barriers, move through them. If you don't know, it's time to test it out and see what works best for you. That was one of the things, that's the path I took because I knew I wanted to create content in my business. And I started with a blog and I was like, you know what? No one's reading these blogs. I mean, I have the funniest story of like, no one's reading these blogs. So then I was like, I'm going to start a YouTube channel and put the YouTube in the blog. So I started doing this. And it was interesting and it was fun. I still wish I had a little bit more YouTube. So maybe we'll put this on YouTube because every now and then I put one on YouTube. And so this one I think would be a good one. And I started doing YouTube and the funny story is like, no one's watching it. I would have like 3 views. All 3 are me, like my phone, my iPad, and my computer, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I had 12 views one day and I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And it gave me the inkling of like, okay, that topic worked. Ah, that's really interesting. So it gave me clues. And then I decided to start the podcast and it was like the heavens opened up and all the light was shining. I was like, this is the medium. I love this. If for some reason I'm able to pull it into YouTube, awesome. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, the podcast is the thing that I love. But I tried all 3. So if you're the person listening is like, I don't know, it's fine. You'll figure it out if you try it for long enough. Don't bounce from one thing to the other too quickly, but I figured it out and it was the last thing, but it was the thing that now I have no question and it's all in on the podcast always.
Yeah. And it was a process to learn that too. Like I didn't know from the get-go the podcast was going to be the thing, but I said, I have the intention to make it the thing and right. I want to pour into it like it is the thing. It is I call it the epicenter of content. So the epicenter is where I pour into it and then it spreads from there into the other platforms. So like if I have an idea one day, we start with it as a podcast episode and then my team will extract audio, visuals, charts, infographics, and quotes from that episode to produce other content that fits the other platforms like LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we see how it does, right? The topics. And then if that topic did well, guess what, Shannon? You should do more topics like that.
Right.
But it's one channel in which I get to produce that stuff. And then we have other content that spurs out of it based on the responses to it. Mm-hmm. And I can get immediate feedback in the form of downloads. I can see which episodes are doing well, day of, week of, month of. I can see what guests do well. I can see a lot of data around that pretty quickly. And I also believe too, and for what it's worth, why I go all in on long form is that most of the time when people are reading your long form content, listening to it, consuming it, they are typically in flow state or they're typically searching for specific guidance, searching for you. Mm-hmm. They're not mindlessly scrolling, trying to escape. They are actually seeking knowledge. They're actually seeking out something. They are Googling something to find you. There's much more specificity in you answering a particular problem or question they have. And also because, for example, in podcasting, what are you doing when you're listening to podcasts, right? You're probably cleaning, working out, walking, driving, showering, yes. Right? So all of those things have what in common? You're doing them all in flow state. You're not having to think about what you're doing. You're kind of in muscle memory, which also opens up your brain to have its best ideas. So if you are kind of entering someone's brain when they are in that state, I feel like they're more malleable. I feel like they're listening more intently. They are not distracted. They're not multitasking. They're not escaping. And their brain isn't shutting down on them. It's actually the most awake.
Oh, that's the thing. Like that is the thing that's going to help people wrap their mind around long form content. Now, to be very clear, when we're talking long form content, your episodes, some of the solo ones are 10 minutes. So that's
But social media is like 1 minute and below.
Exactly.
So anything so over a minute is now long form.
Yeah. Because I don't want anyone to think, again, it's a barrier. I know because I've heard it so many times. Someone says, I don't have the time to do an 45-minute podcast interview. And I'm like, you don't have to do that.
10 minutes. Yeah. All it takes. 10 to like, think about one thing, one question. This is what I would do. If you need to get started, what's one question you get asked all the time that kind of annoys you? How often you get asked it? Because that's actually your golden ticket. Yes. So for my personal favorite, Shannon, how does an LLC save me money in taxes? Okay. And what's funny is I take all those questions. And again, the Asana board, the Google Doc, the whatever, the ideas, also keep a place for the questions that are hitting you. Yep. Because even if they're annoying questions, you're like, oh, I get this question all the time.
That's the best one to answer.
That's the best one to answer. It will do the best on your content and attract more people because, and not only that, again, lazy. I hate answering that question 18 times. Yes. You know what I did? I made this actually was where the podcast came from. I took all the FAQs and I said, I want to make an FAQ library as fast as effing possible so that when people ask me these questions, I can be like, link.
That's 100% how all of my content comes up.
Link. And it's like, go listen to this 8 minutes. You're done.
Yes. Everyone asked me that question. How did you come up with content ideas at the beginning? And I was like, people asking questions. And if you don't have people on social media, think about who you're working with in person. When you tell someone, I am a blah, 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 they say, oh, that's so cool. And they immediately ask a question. That is your content idea. And I built this library of podcasts. And so now when someone asks me a question on Instagram, I just send the links to the episodes.
And I've got one more tactical thing that I did in the beginning that was super helpful. I hosted Q&As for free every month. So I would be like, join our monthly Q&A call, right? Or whatever it was. I know, and again, my subject is tricky for like a group call, but I also allowed people to text me questions ahead of time so they could be anonymous. But I would do these Q&As completely for free. And people were like, why are you doing this for free? And I go, watch. So,
I love it.
I would do these Q&As. I would record them, but people signed a waiver saying they could use their voice, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And now what we're doing is we're taking all those calls that I did, splicing up the Q&A, the question and the answer. I don't even have to use the person's voice. I could literally say in the intro what the question was, or one of my team members could. If you've ever heard Gary Vee's podcast, he does this all the time, right? So it's like, this question was from a listener who did da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here's Shannon's answer here. Mm-hmm. So, and it will just be me answering the question literally in a Q&A to a business owner. So you also get a taste of what it's like to work with me. You also get a taste of this is how Shannon actually interacts with her customers. So if I could record pieces of my CFO calls, I would, but I want to respect privacy. But think about how you could actually create a forum. And not only that, people opted into those webinars by giving me their email addresses.
Right.
Now I'm marketing to those people and I'm getting free content out of it by taking the same hour of time and compressing it into, I'm offering value. I'm delivering this to nurture customers, but I'm also going to extract out these questions and answers as their own episodes or as their own pieces of content that are going to be produced later in a couple months. And that's what you want to do. You want to literally double the output for the hour that you're doing. And like you said, questions are the number one thing. Like whatever people are asking you, that's what they want. They're literally telling you.
So good. I feel like you just dropped a bomb on people that are going to be like, yes. I'm ready to take
action. Go do it. Just go set the calendar, schedule the Q&A call, invite people, and there's months of content right there.
Right. And if two people show up to that Q&A, that's awesome. Take those two people's questions. Like, don't be upset that 200 people didn't show up. That's actually kind of a nightmare when 200 people show up. Like, be grateful for the two. Run with it.
Yep.
Oh, Shannon, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, for your advice, for your energy, all of the good things. I know people are going to be definitely going to your podcast, Keep What You Earn, but where else can people find out more about you and how to work with you or learn more from you?
That is the number one place, content epicenter, guys. Keep What You Earn. Also, if you want to learn more about working with me in CFO capacity, my company is called Fitnancial Solutions. You can go to fitnancialsolutions.com and learn about what we do there. But Keep What You Earn is my passion project to educate entrepreneurs everywhere. So if you're nervous about money, want to learn more about it, and just in an approachable, jargon-free, and judgment-free way, come on over to the podcast. We'd love to have you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Wasn't she so much fun to listen to? I just absolutely loved how she created a puppet. I mean, when I heard that, I could not get over it. It is so smart. And I really appreciated how she shared what stopped her and how she navigated it. If that is not inspiration to navigate whatever you've got going on with whatever's hindering you, I don't know what is. And I really appreciated that she talked about being lazy. And she was like, I don't want to do things more than once or, you know, have these redundancies. And so what she was able to do is to create workarounds for creating content that was fun for her, helpful for her audience, but also did not take over her time. So it's not about being lazy. It's really about maximizing your productivity and being efficient with your time. So I want you to do this now. I want you to think about this. Your next step is to commit to one platform. You heard Shannon and I talk about this. Pick one platform and go all in on it, because it's really easy to get caught up in the shoulds of you should be everywhere, but really just pick one platform and go all in on it so you can be more efficient with your time and more productive with your time and help more people in the process. So until next time, give yourself permission to be efficient and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.